Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
Someone once told me that when you come to pray, that prayer changes things. It was kind of like a mantra that people had. Prayer changes things. It was kind of put up here, there, and everywhere. Prayer changes things. And I do believe that. But I equally believe that God in prayer changes us. So prayer changes things, but I believe prayer changes us. There's always adjustments that need to be happen within our life as we pursue the request that God has put within our heart. So prayer, yeah, definitely does change things. But I found mostly in life, prayer changes me. And I need plenty of changing. I need to be transformed into the image of Christ. And sometimes I don't make the changes until I'm pressed into a corner. And I don't think God minds that at all. But when you're pressed into the corner, understand that it's an opportunity to change. It's an opportunity to become more like Christ. It's an opportunity to experience the freedom that God has for each one of us. So when we come to God in prayer, I think it's good that we come with a petition. Because sometimes we haven't got time for anything else. Like in an emergency, all basically it is, God help me. But I think in our general coming to God, I believe number one in our approach to God, it's for fellowship with Him. Yeah. Be honest with you, I love reading the Word and just meditating on it, whether it's here or on my iPad, and just reading it, but I do prefer the written Word. It smells better. And I do prefer the written Word. And as I read it, I not only read it, but I let it read me. So I can allow the entrance of this Word. And sometimes I go to the concordance and just kind of look in the context of where it was written from and just fellowship with God. Sometimes I just might put the plugs in and just listen to worship. And, you know, you like went for a ride on the train the other day. I guarantee 9 out of 10 had their plugs in. They're listening to something, doing something. And I just believe for Christian in those times, man, what a great time to listen to a message. What a great time to listen to the Word. What a great time to worship God, settle our spirit, and just know the communication of God within our spirit. Keep the touch of God alive within your heart. You can do it. You can have a little church service in here. And sometimes I'm walking around, you know, I'm engaged in my work, but just when I have a downtime, I just feel there's a song happening here. There's a word happening here. There's fellowship with God happening on the inside. And it's not just a Sunday thing. Thank God that something fresh can get sparked on a Sunday. But I believe that fellowship with God is a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We can just know the touch of God upon our life. And as you just begin to fellowship with Jesus, man, just sense of peace, sense of connectedness, sense of Him adjusting your life just happens on the inside. I like those moments. And I know there's other times when you're down there and you're reading your Word and those kind of things and it feels tough and that kind of stuff. I just think, hey, just relax. Keep on allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Hey, it's still in our relational world. Sometimes we really feel close to people when we're talking to them. Sometimes we just feel like we're going through routine. But the idea is to have fellowship and connectedness. And it's the same with God, that we can have fellowship and be connected with our Almighty God. If it's all just about religion, I'm not really interested. And I wouldn't be interested now. I'm not really into religion. It's amazing when I tell people that I'm a minister. You a minister? Yeah. Are you religious? Probably, but I don't want to be. I want to be relational. I want to have, you know, a relationship with God. I want to know Him and be relational to people so what I'm living is transferable. It's relevant to the world around me. I think in prayer we're built up on the inside. The inner person gets built up. I believe the word strengthens us, but I believe prayer strengthens us. Strengthens our spirit. And I've got here that one of the ingredients of a strengthened person is a prayer life. One of the ingredients of a strengthened marriage is prayer. One of the ingredients of a strengthened financial world is prayer. One of the ingredients in a strengthened church is prayer. Yeah, I know it's not everything, but man, it's such an powerful ingredient. Prayer changes things, but prayer changes us. So when we come to God, it's a good thing, number one, to have fellowship with Him. So it's not just every time we come, we're asking. It'd be just like every time I met my children, they just come, Dad, can I have $50? Dad, can you do this? Can I do that? And because they're my children, I'll put up with it, but it's not what I want. I want relationship. I want connectedness. Number one is fellowship. Number two, when you come to God, know what you want. So important. But what I was saying is just don't come with petition all the time. Come, God, I want to relate to you. I want to know your presence. I want to build you into my life, and I want myself to be built into you, that we're just weaved together in life. So second is, when you come to God, know what you want. There will be other things that we ask for, but specific things within our life. Let's know what we want. When you come to God, believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. What are the couple of the main things that we're believing for in 2017? That we were just, man, we're just dying for God. I'm believing that you're going to break through. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep believing until the door is opened. And we saw this in Jabez, in 1 Chronicles 4. It says, Jabez called on the God of Israel that you would bless me indeed. Man, that's a specific prayer. For all the carnage in the world, and carnage relationally, and carnage financially. God, we just pray that this year that you would bless me indeed. That you'd enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you'd keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Good news. And God granted him his request. Why? Because he was specific in his asking. And everybody said, amen. The other one was Hannah. She prayed, God, give me a child. She was barren. God, give me a child. Give me a child. And God answered her request. Specific prayers. It's interesting to note that the New Testament church was so believed in prayer. And I believe when they were saying, you know, they believed in prayer, they were talking about connecting with God. And it says in Acts 2:42 that they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, listen, and in prayers. If it wasn't working, they would not have wasted their time. But they turned the then known world upside down from God for God through the word of God, through the apostles' doctrine, through prayers, through proclamation, through righteous living. And God did something. They were praying to a wonderful, powerful, living God. Prayer works. So I just want to help us for a little while today. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little bit lost in being specific. And I want to share five things with you this morning. Five prayers that God will always answer. You ready to go on the journey?
Yeah.
Okay, the first one is found in Matthew 6:13. And it reads like this. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's the Lord's Prayer. It's a pattern prayer. And it's good to pray it, but also it's good to look at what God is saying in the pattern prayer. He's saying, when we come to Him, let's be specific. Come on, mums. Come on, dads. Come on, young people, older people. Let's be specific in our prayers. Yes, Lord, we love you. But when we come to God, we're going to be specific. And what does He say, number one here? Lord, get me out of temptation. Do not lead me into temptation. Interesting thing Jesus would say. Why does He encourage us to be specific in that? Does it come to a time in your life as a mature Christian, when you get to my age, your age, or your maturity in your walk with God, that you are beyond being tempted? I just wonder. Well, you might say, I've overcome those areas that I was really tempted in as a young person. Young people have their own temptations. Every season of life has its own temptations. The drives and those kind of things change in our bodies, so our temptations alter in the seasons of life. But I'm going to tell you, at any time and anywhere, we can be tempted. And he says, make it a specific prayer in your life. Acknowledge it. Be intentional. Lord, lead me not into temptation. And the next bit it says, and deliver me from evil. You might say, why deliver you from evil? Literally, it means deliver me from the devil. And you never hear me preaching how powerful the devil is. I preach about how powerful Jesus is, and how as we submit to him, we see the power of God coming into our life. Nonetheless, he is a powerful person if you're not staying close to Jesus. And Jesus reminds us, come on, be aware that don't be led in temptation. And also be aware that the enemy is around and he's like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, because he knows how to paint things up like they're fantastic. He's an angel of light. He puts colored things around olives. Looks sweet, but it's got a different taste on the inside. And I just think the enemy is always kind of trying to lure us, you know, with temptation. And any temptation within our life that takes us away from God or the things of God, I just think we need to, Lord, deliver me from temptation. Lead me not to temptation, deliver me from the evil one. Now, I want to take you a step further and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, and it reads like this. And it says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There's that scripture for those that have overcome in their life, and you just think temptation has kind of dropped down a few degrees. I'm right now, I've got no, there's nothing to worry about. The word of God says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So people ask me, John, can you still be tempted? Of course I can. Where? Anywhere. And it doesn't mean you walk around the world paranoid, but it just, you walk around with an awareness that, man, if a temptation or an idea comes to my way, I've got to think about that and think, where is it going to lead me?
Yeah, very good.
And we'll unfold this a little bit more, and it's because it says this, no temptation has overtaken you except such is common to man. Aha. I've talked to people and say, John, I'm the only one in the world that's ever gone through this or gone through this. No, you're not. The Bible is true. No temptation has come against you as is common to man.
Yeah.
And even Jesus, when he lived on this earth, he says that he was tempted in all manners of life as we are, yet without sin. Temptation's an interesting thing. Oh, you might say you're 40, you're 50, you're 25, you're 30, you're 10, I'm cool. Hey, it's not about your age. It's about the season you're in. And to understand that if Jesus said we need to pray a prayer, you know, Lord, 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 lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, there is a reason for it.
Yeah.
But here it is. Except that it's common to man, and listen to this, God is faithful. Okay, the enemy is not too truthful, but God is truthful and God is faithful. And it says, and God is faithful. Oh, thank God for his faithfulness towards us. Who says, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Temptation. Interesting to note that temptation is both outward allurement and inward enticement. You see, we live in a world that serves us up temptations every day. Are you hearing me? And you know the area in your life where you could be tempted. And, you know, you can talk about morals, you can talk about character, you can talk about food, you can talk about speeding, you can talk about shopping. There's a whole gamut of things that are so individual within our life. But the Word of God says, hey, God is faithful and you will not be tempted beyond what you can handle. Thank you. So what do you do with temptation? Turn with me to James 1, 12 to 16. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Jesus says, lead us not into temptation. 1 Corinthians says, no temptation has overtaken you except is common to man. And then we see here in James, blessed is the man who endures temptation. What is going on here? I believe there are temptations that hit our allurements and enticements, and we can respond straight away. For now, gratification, and it'll lead us to trouble. But they're there and they're gone. And what do you do in those moments? I believe when a temptation comes like that, you've made a predetermined choice that I'm making, not making my choices now, if that's right. I've made my choices before God and in His Word that is right. I'm not going to do that. Get your mind on something else. Move forward. But here it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for once he's approved, he'll receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. I believe there are temptations that can hit you just like that, but also I believe equally there are seasons of temptation that come upon us to test something that of our endurance, of our dependence. To test our endurance, our dependence. Are we going to go to God? Are we going to lay at His feet, and we're going to believe that God is going to help us. Now, for an example, before you get a promotion, I guarantee the enemy will be always there to tempt you. Before Jesus had His major breakthrough of going into ministry, it says the enemy, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he was tempted for 40 days. So he was led by the Spirit, but in that wilderness experience, he was tempted for 40 days by the enemy, but God strengthened him. Now, listen to this. Tempted for 40 days. He got through the wilderness experience. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, tempted, and he came out in the power of the Spirit. Listen to me. He was led into the experience by the Spirit of the Lord. But in the situation, he came out in the power of the Lord. I just believe if you're in a season of temptation, hey, just hold it steady because you're going to come out with a powerful life. You're going to be led there by the Spirit. Oh, this is cool. God's doing something good in my life. And then you're going through a wilderness experience. What is going on? Hold it. What are you going to do in the wilderness? Are you going to get a fixation on the wilderness and say, oh man, it was so good at church on Sunday. It was so good when God touched me. What is going on now? Why is this temptation coming? Why is it so real? Why is it so obvious? Why is it so powerful? If we learn to respond in those moments, in those seasons, according to the Holy Spirit, according to the Word of God, we're going to come out not only led, but we're going to come out full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Yep. Oh, I believe that God wants to strengthen us. Come on. Yes. What do you do in the seasons of temptation? And just excuse me, I'm having some technical issues here. Hello, John, are you there? Yep. So what do you do in those moments of temptation? What do you do in those seasons of them? Okay, this is what you can do. Number one, you can yield. But I found if you kind of yield, so much full of guilt. But if you've yielded in those kind of moments, it's not too late. Repent, get back up on your feet again. But don't sell your soul. You can trip up, but don't sell your soul. The enemy was trying to get Jesus to sell his soul, to sell his destiny. There's an easier way you can make this happen. But I want to tell you, my friends, for the destiny that God's got for you, there are no shortcuts. Go through the season, rely on God, and it will pass, and you will be strengthened through it. Temptations. Another temptation could be, seasons of temptation is to run. Run away from your marriage. Run away from your children. Run away from your church. Run away from your work. Run, 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 run. And we see a generation today, not everyone, but we see some people that, man, they've got into the habit of when they hit a hard season, they run. Yeah. But you, and then you can be led of the Spirit into another situation. And God gives you another opportunity to learn the lessons so you can come out full of the power of God. So why don't you stop running and let's get this thing sorted out so that we can be strengthened and go on and fulfill our destiny in Jesus' name. Some people go from church to church. And if you're here today, man, we welcome you and all that kind of stuff. Be planted, grow and that kind of stuff. Let the first day of your life be today where you just say, I'm going to be planted. And I'm going to grow. Because I want to tell you, the best trees grow when their roots get planted. Paul says, I long to see you, Romans 1:11, that I may see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift that you may be established. And that spiritual gift and being established is a farming work where you let your roots go down, where your gifts are seen, where your gifts are operated, where your relationships go down. That's the best place for you to be. Come on, get out of your pot plant and start to get rooted and founded in the good soil of Inspire Church, and let's grow together in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to part one of this message.